everybody.
Welcome to Magic the Amateuring.
Which is a podcast.
About magic.
And about...
amateurs.
That's right, everybody.
I'm Maria. So, what?
Oh, I mean, I was, you know... I'm Megan.
Okay, yeah. Great.
All right.
So if you listen to this, you're cool.
We were really on a roll, and I just stopped the roll.
You stopped the roll.
I'm a bump on a hill.
Megan.
If you're rolling down and I stop you.
That's the most negative thing you've ever said about yourself. You're more than a bump on a hill. It can't be.
I have to have said more horrible things about myself than that.
Everybody... self-esteem is a real thing, okay?
And today's show, we're going to talk about the importance. Understanding your self-worth.
Yes. It's important, you know?
For real, though.
To say, I want everyone to repeat after me right now. You know what? I'm great.
You know what? I'm great.
And you know what?
And you know what?
If other people don't think I'm great.
If other people don't think I'm great.
They can go suck a stick.
They can go suck a stick?
Yeah. One covered in dirt and probably like little small microscopic bugs.
Have you, you've heard this song. I know you've heard this song.
What?
We've rapped together to this song.
What song?
Forest Whitaker by Brother Ali.
Oh yeah, it's a great song.
Go listen to it, you guys.
Local boy.
It also makes sense that I thought of it in the context of this conversation.
Right, yeah. No, it's a self, it's like, oh, I'm worth it.
It's amazing.
It's really good.
It's so great.
Yeah.
I feel like part of your pledge.
It was a pledge, but I raised my left hand, so I don't know if that counts.
I raised my right, so mine did.
Do you want to know something?
Yeah, always.
I've been reading about the Salem witch trials,
okay,
as you know, in this new book by Stacey Schiff. And before you were tried, you had to respond like, how will you be tried or whatever? And you had to respond by God and my country. And if you didn't, they couldn't try you.
What?
Yes, you like had to say that. And that's where the famous case of Giles Corey comes in. He's the one older guy who was accused of witchcraft and he was pressed to death because...
yep.
Because he refused to say, by God and my country. So they literally could not give him a trial. And they're like,
shit.
What do we do? I guess we put rocks on him. And then he died.
So pressing like, someone to death is like literally, it's so horrific.
And it's the only time it's ever happened in the history of this country.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Isn't that funny?
I hope it's the only time it's ever happened in the history of ever.
Probably not.
Because you know what's shitty? Hey, let's put rocks on somebody until they die.
It's also the least imaginative form of torture.
We gotta torture this man. What should we do? Put rocks on him.
And it's like, Brad, get out of here. You're so basic.
I don't understand what you guys want from me.
Use your imagination, Brad. Can you do no better than put rocks on him?
There'll be rocks of different sizes.
Oh boy, somebody replace Brad. I mean, I went to the Torture Museum in London.
What? I think I've been there. Is it called
the Torture Museum? I don't know.
That I was just going to say, is it called the Tower of London?
Oh,
but it's like,
no.
The answer is obviously no, because it's called the Tower of London. But they also did a shit ton of torture there.
Oh, yeah. They just did whatever they wanted.
They really did.
Anyway, on today's show, we'll be talking...
Did you go to the Tower of London?
Yeah.
Did you see the little carvings by, like, Elizabeth Tudor and stuff?
Oh, I didn't, actually.
What?
That's got to be creepy.
Yeah.
I saw the birds, their wings clipped.
I didn't see those.
Because if they fly away, then the crown will lose its power.
What?
Yeah.
Effed up.
So
are you just talking about the big ravens?
To keep them in there,
sitting
yeah.
on the lawn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're spooky birds.
Spooky. Speaking of spooky things.
Speaking of spooky things, Shadows Over Innistrad.
Yeah, this show we're going to talk about awesome preview cards from Shadows Over Innistrad. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk about this, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
There's been a lot of great cards.
Great cards, because we didn't really get to talk about cards last week, because we were at GPDC.
Yep.
Talking about DC things.
That's right.
GP things.
Yep.
Baller stuff.
And so this week we're getting back on the horse. We're slapping it on its ass and we're saying, giddy up. I am rude to my horse.
You really are.
I am rude to that horse.
You really are. You know, I broke my shoulder being thrown from a horse.
I can see that.
Thanks.
I've never broken any bones.
I've broken my arms 3 times.
I'm made of adamantium. What?
Three times? Yeah.
Megan, do you have bird bones? Are they hollow?
I don't. As a kid, I apparently did. Because it was like a year and a half apart. Like every year and a half routinely, I'd like break an arm.
Was it just that you just woke up and it was broken? Like snapped in the night?
No, I did shit.
Okay.
Like I got thrown from a horse.
Yeah.
I got thrown. I legitimately got thrown from the horse.
Ooh.
It was trying to get me the fuck off and it succeeded.
Spooky.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Anyways.
Brand new preview cards. And we also are going to talk to Allison Lures, a community manager at Wizards of the Coast.
She's delightful and amazing. Yep. And we get to hear lots of cool stuff from behind the scenes of the Shadows Over Innistrad preview season and pre-release season.
Yeah, because this set is, you know, very flavorful. And we wanted to talk to Allison about what the marketing strategy kind of was to get this. Because there's a lot of really cool stuff happening with clues and neat puzzles for people to solve. Puzzle escape rooms. I mean,
yeah.
I could go on.
You know.
And we will. We will go on. But before we do, I want to mention that on Patreon, you know, we always say that you can become a patron and support us at whatever level you feel is comfortable for you, and you get rewards and that kind of thing. But something new has happened, and we haven't talked about it on the show, the fact that Megan and I are now doing exclusive patron-only content.
Yeah. 5 minutes.
5 minutes in heaven with
patrons
me and Megan
only.
On Patreon, for patrons only on patreon.com. You can donate at any level and you'll get access to it. We've done two so far, and we'll do one after this episode too. That's released the same week as the episode.
What will we talk about?
I don't know.
You only get to know.
Only the patrons get to know. It could be anything. So, yeah, I really liked our one last week. So
yeah, I felt really good about it.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, big news from Tulare Community College. We're now being released the video version of this podcast on Thursdays.
Yep.
Way better. Last week was actually released on Tuesday, same day as the episode, which
is
awesome.
It was so exciting.
So, like, you know. You
head on over to TCC. Check out our videos. Check out others of the professors' vids, sweet reviews.
Yeah.
Other funny content. You know, just lots of educational things.
Megan and I are also shilling play mats now.
That's right, we are. And if you remember to put in the comments section when you purchase a playmat, we will sign it before we send it to you.
Yes, we will. So yeah, magicthamateur.com, playmats.
That's right.
$20.
Boom.
Get over there.
We had to buy special boxes to mail them.
Oh my God. We have to put the boxes together by hand, everybody.
We have to put them together by hand. So order a playmat.
Order a playmat.
Make us put a box together by hand.
Put us to work. Hey, everybody. We're here with Allison Lures, community manager at Wizards of the Coast. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Hi. It's awesome to be here.
Yay. It's awesome to have you. To tell the truth, we've been wanting to talk to you on the show for quite a long time.
Oh.
So we're really excited you're finally here.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm blushing. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yay!
Yay!
So we want to talk to you a little bit about Shadows Over Innistrad. It's coming out very soon.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-release, not this weekend, but next weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have done a lot of really cool things to celebrate this pre-release and this release of this set. This set is like dripping with flavor. The flavor is like falling off the bone in this set.
We're stuck in the slow cooker. It's been sitting there like all day long. There's like some like pinto beans at the bottom. It tastes fantastic.
Nice. Like, you secretly snuck in some pumpkin pie spice.
Oh, yeah,
people are going to taste it, and they're going to be like, what is that? And not be able to put their finger on it, but they're going to like it.
This is a true story. Megan served me some, like, what was it, soup?
It was chili.
Yeah, chili, and she's like, Maria, what's that extra ingredient? Like, she was, like, quizzing me, and I'm like, I don't know, cinnamon?
No, pumpkin.
It's
pumpkin.
Almost, it's part cinnamon and also part other things.
It was that's a secret delight. But first, before we get into that, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about life at Wizards. I mean, people are generally really curious about what it's like to work there.
Oh, yeah.
And especially what it's like to be a community manager. So I guess tell us a little bit about, like, what's a day in your life like?
Sure. A day in my life is I wake up and I get ready for work, naturally. I drive to work. I usually have some, like, dry cereal at my desk, maybe, like, a cup of tea. It's pretty nice.
Do you put milk in your cereal?
Actually, I don't. For some reason, cereal with milk has always, like, I don't know, just never done it for me. So
we ask the hard questions here on Magic the Entry.
Man, yeah, I'm sweating right now. This is
why is there no milk in your cereal?
Because I don't like soggy cereal, so I eat it separately.
Okay, it's fine. That's fine.
All right.
More to the point, most of what I do is just making sure that our community is on the same page as the messages that we're trying to put out there and that everyone's just kind of happy and having a good time. My favorite way to describe my job is what my director, Hugh, has always told us, which is that social media and the community managers, we're the ones who throw the party. R&D are like the DJs. They're making the music, and we're making sure that everyone's dancing, everyone knows that there's chips on the table, the admission costs like this much, and in order to get in, you're going to have to, you know, follow these rules, and then we facilitate the party. So we like to make sure that everyone's having a good time. That involves.
So you're like the party mom.
Yeah, we're just party moms, except hopefully a little bit cooler than party moms. But if
party
not,
party moms are cool.
Honestly, you need party moms.
Like, yeah. Party moms are important, and so I'd be super fine with living up to the level that party moms are at.
Great. So you're the ones holding back my hair when the night gets rough.
Always,
is what you're
darling,
saying.
Always.
Thank you.
You never
Thank
need
you.
To worry about that with me.
So, I don't know, as community manager, mm-hmm. what's, I guess, your favorite part of that job, and what's kind of the most challenging part of it? Because I can imagine sometimes it's a challenging job as well.
It can be, yeah. My favorite part is twofold. So, my favorite part is whenever we go to conventions or when we meet players in person and getting to talk to them about the issues that matter to them, what they would like to see more out of our community, and just kind of talking to them like people, you know, like, what's your guild? What's your favorite deck? How much do you hate? Blah, blah, blah. That's my favorite way to talk to people. And so getting to actually meet real live human beings is always the best part. The other best part is getting paid to make really, really dumb jokes on the internet. That feels really good.
Amazing.
One of the highlights of last year, so we started our Tumblr just last year, and by the end of the year, we had received a place on Tumblr's like new and notable list. So they made this list of like 15 Tumblrs that were like making waves, and on the list there was like Nike, Carly Kloss, NASA, and then there's us. And it was so
That's
flattering.
Awesome.
Yeah, it felt really good. So I'm happy that there's an audience for who wants to connect on a more personal level with the game, and social media is the way that you do that.
And now you're just chilling with NASA.
Yes,
yeah, you know.
I know.
You can roll into a NASA facility and be like, "Hey guys.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Let me just call my cool friend Carly Kloss. Hey, supermodel, want to go hang out later? Because we're all on the same like phone list now, so we can super do that."
That's a great way to dial your phone, by the way.
Just slap it.
For the listeners at home, yeah, you just kind of slap your phone several times, and that's how you get connected to anyone on Tumblr's new and notable 2015 list. It's really
NASA?
Easy.
No, Megan, it doesn't work for us.
Nike
we don't
for
have
women,
a Tumblr.
This is Allison. Yeah, P.S., why aren't you guys on Tumblr yet?
That is a great question. There are several social media platforms that I sometimes ask myself, why are we doing that?
Oh,
you
man.
Know?
Yeah.
Tumblr's
I actually
boss.
Personally am on Tumblr. Do you want to know what I use it for?
Yes.
What?
I use it exclusively for drawings of robots.
I'm so proud of you. That's so
that.
Good.
Yeah.
What a good
That's
use of
Tumblr.
Strong job.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Do I have a Tumblr? Do I have a Blogspot?
Aw, memories.
Do you have a live journal?
I definitely don't have one of those. The one where I posted... Okay, here's my thing that I do on like, I don't know if it's Blogspot or if it, I think it's Tumblr though.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I take the Pusheen stickers on Facebook and it's called Anthropomorphic Pusheen.
That's right.
And I write like what the sticker says on the surface and then what the sticker means on a deeper philosophical level.
That's mm-hmm. beautiful.
I remember that. It's
That's
great.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I've always had a penchant for a penchant. I don't know how you say that. For a business fish. The business fish sticker is my favorite.
Oh, the business fish. He's great as well.
Yeah.
What an enigma.
Are you like a sticker aficionado?
Business fish, where are you going?
So many mysteries. So many unanswered questions. Who are you, business fish?
So you guys are on Tumblr. You're, mm-hmm. I mean, you're on Facebook. You're on Twitter. You're on Reddit.
Yep.
Instagram?
Yes, we are.
Snapchat?
Not yet. Actually, we had a discussion in the office of how do we make Snapchat for Magic, and we couldn't come up with a really good answer, so,
You just snap all day, you know, just random snaps.
I know, I feel like if we did have one, it would probably just be, like, really embarrassing snaps of, like, random people around the office asking, why won't you just take that away from my face right now, and us trying to take as many snaps as possible? Like, ugh! Like, Aaron Forsyth just, like, putting his hand up away in front of the camera trying to go somewhere else. It'd probably be like that, which sounds cool, but in practice would not be very cool with the kids, so.
I would love to see Aaron Forsyth puking that rainbow, personally.
Oh, yeah.
That would take so much explanation beforehand.
Now, Aaron,
all right. Aaron, look.
First, I'm going to get the screen to recognize your face.
We'll just do face swaps with random people around the office. That sounds kind of fun, too.
That's also great.
Yeah. There's so many options.
Great. I mean, it sounds like we have your Snapchat planned.
Yes. Yeah, so
I feel like we solved
this. I'll just write up this business plan, and it will be good.
Perfect.
To kind of jump back to the original question, though, for like the difficult parts of the job, it's kind of what you already expect. Yeah, as far as social media stuff goes, the internet is a wild and scary place. And being on the front lines of it means that you read a lot of stuff that sometimes can be kind of tricky. But luckily, I have an amazing team and we all back each other up. And by and large, our community is so supportive and so kind and fantastic. So it's all worth it in the end.
Awesome.
Aww.
We think so, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so pre-release time coming up.
Yep.
All right. What cool stuff can people expect at this pre-re party?
You can expect far and away the cutest packaging that we've done for a pre-release so far.
It is actually it like looks like a little book, right?
It looks like a book that's very important to the plot of
Shadows. Is it Tamio's journal?
It totally is.
Yes.
Secrets. Okay, sweet.
I hope we open it up and read all about the boys Tamio likes.
So many secrets. So many, secret boys and so secret crushes.
Tamio, what legendary men do you think are cute? Poor women, I don't know.
I don't know how she swings, actually. I should ask sometime.
I don't know.
It's me. She's probably, it's all just like pictures of the moon with little hearts around it.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
That's it. That's her list. That makes me really happy. So we'll
the packaging is adorable. Like, Tamio's journal, great job. I love when you guys innovate with pre-release packaging too, because
Me
I think
too.
It makes the experience like special and fun.
Yeah, it's been so much fun watching the brand guys come up with these new packages for everything. And also, there is a puzzle inside of the pre-release packs.
What?
Oh yeah, there's puzzles on puzzles on puzzles in this set. It's crazy.
wait, what kind of puzzle is it?
It's one that you need multiple people in order to solve.
Oh, a Sudoku.
What?
Yeah. So there is something inside of box, and when you assemble it correctly and take a picture and tag it MTGSOI, the more people do that, the more fun like concept art will reveal. So that's
cool.
Yeah, something else kind of fun to do on that night.
You guys are releasing these posters, too, in different languages that have clues in it.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Actually, hold on. Let me check the time. I believe the solution is online right now.
What?
Allison,
where?
That there's a solution?
Here it is.
It's the first thing.
I'll let you guys surf. There you go.
Okay.
All the pre-release posters, depending on what region you are in, there is a different array of cryptoliths on the bottom left. So cryptoliths are those funny pointy rock thingies that keep popping up all through Innistrad.
Yeah.
What's the deal with those? I don't know. It's a mystery.
Cryptolith means mystery rock.
It sure does. They're very mysterious rocks. I guess I can explain how the puzzle works, since by the time this is out in the wild, people will already know. So on each poster, the rocks point in different directions. And if you imagine a clock behind them, they're pointing to different numbers on the clock. And so when you add up all of those numbers across all 11 of our posters, you get the number, I think, 247. I may have that, like, ultra wrong, but it's the card number of Nahiri, the Harbinger. That's a solution. And the art that you're probably looking at right now is of fantastic concept art that should be related to that.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yay!
Nahiri looks so baller.
I love this art. She is my queen. She is my queen, and she's so important. Ugh.
If I were ever to cosplay, it would probably like be like this, because like I feel like this is just what my style wants to be anyway. if I dress like Nahiri, I would just be dressing like more me.
Except with like a few more belts and an even like more like vengeful, awesome attitude. So
yeah,
it's hard to go wrong.
She's got three belts going on.
I don't know.
Here.
I've worn three belts in my life.
At the same
like
time.
Overall or at once? Yeah. How do you spread out your belt?
I can believe
wedge?
That. Okay, cool. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
so we've solved it. Good job, us. We did it.
Yay!
Definitely.
Good job.
Single-handedly.
Yep, just the two of us and only us.
You sure did. I'm so proud of you guys. That was great.
So, question, have you played this set?
Actually, I have not had a chance to actually play it yet. I did poke around like a couple of playtesting stuff like forever ago, but it's also been forever ago. I believe sometime in the next few days we're going to be doing our pre-release at the office, so I'll get to play it then. Until then, I've just been like rubbing my hands and like drooling over it so far. So no chance to play yet.
Feeling drawn a particular way In terms of like cards or strategies or alliances?
Oh man, I've always been a story person. So since I've been working at Wizards, I worked on flavor text and card titles for BFZ, and I've written a couple of stories so far, and hopefully we'll continue to do that in the future. So the story and the flavor of this set has been what has like fueled my like jam the most.
I fuel my jam with, you know, straight gasoline.
Yeah, personally. Man. Yeah, that's good fuel for your jam. That's good.
Yeah, I'm hoping to play, you know me. I want to do some red black vampire shenanigans.
Oh, always.
That's my hope.
Yeah, I've always been a sucker for ghosts and spirits, so I'm excited to get my delirium on. Should be a lot of fun. I have no idea if it's going to work or not, but we'll find out. It'll be a great surprise.
Get your delirium on, girl.
Yeah.
What do you want to do, Megan?
What? I want to make a million zombies with the zombie maker.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. That sounds doable.
That sounds good.
That's pretty solid. Yeah.
So I want to just get to the bottom of the puzzle right now with you. Can you confirm that the shadows over Innistrad are, in fact, a cloud of Jace's farts?
You know what?
Let me give some context to this. I was streaming in the streamer
showdown. Please tell me what the context is.
Okay. I was doing a streamer showdown the other day, Original Ravnica. Uh-huh. And in between rounds, I was like, let's make a poll. So I did a straw poll of like, what are the shadows over Innistrad? And I'm like, oh, is it Emrakul? Is it Merit Lage? Is it, you know, something else viable? And then the last one I put was Jace's farts. And it got like 80% of the vote.
Of course it did.
Well, okay. Well, let's back this up for a second, though. So really gassy people usually have a really varied diet. Like, you're not really taking care of what you're eating. Jace is a guy that travels around a lot.
That's true.
He is a very busy dude who has a job that he hasn't been at for a little while. No big deal. But I imagine that he takes a pretty, like, he seems like the kind of guy who pays attention to what he sticks in his body. Like, he's paying attention to what he's eating.
He probably takes a fiber pill.
Oh, he would. He so would. So I don't know how gassy he is the thing. Like, would.
Okay.
Also, farts don't really cast a shadow since they're gas, so.
I mean, yours maybe don't, but his.
Jace is a planeswalker.
That's true. He's a planeswalker, and he might be making, like, solid illusory farts. So, you know, I don't think I can fully decide.
Or Jace, are you making illusory farts again?
I can't see him.
Or
but
are these
I can
the real thing?
Well, if he can make illusions that you can touch and have like solid form, then that's who knows? True. You know?
Yeah.
If I had those kinds of abilities, like who knows what you'd do?
This is what really came between Jace and Liliana.
It's true. Yeah, there was just some really serious issues that
she really should have been more understanding.
You think so? Are you going to stay with somebody who has terrible farts? Yes or no?
I mean, she was also busy betraying him and stuff, so, you know.
Shh,
don't never mind.
But all of that aside, wait, are you telling me, Maria, that you would dump someone solely because they had bad farts? Look. Everything else is great. Everything else in your relationship is perfect. It's the most perfect it's ever been. You're exceptionally happy.
Okay.
But they have terrible farts.
Before I answer your question, story...
Oh, my.
About my dad. I've never talked about my dad on the show, I don't think. But he his first girlfriends. He's like still sad about it. Oh. Not my mom. Someone before my mom. Uh-huh. He's like, he broke up with her because she snored.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Oh,
that's
I know. And now he's like very sad about it anyway.
What?
Wow.
Wow. Yeah,
this is a really in-depth look into your family. Like,
I agree.
Wow.
Yeah. So the answer is no, I will not make the same mistake as my dad.
All right.
I will stay with that farts. stinky fart.
Learn from the past. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay. Allison, where do you fall on the fart spectrum?
You know, I think that you should be considerate of all bodies and that everyone has something positive to bring to a relationship, including farts. Great.
Yep. So, okay.
Okay.
That Handwerk Chronicle.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Back on track.
Yes. So tell us, like, what is the Handwerk Chronicle?
So when you watch the Avengers, you see the superheroes flying around, saving the world from aliens, and there's all sorts of explosions and stuff. And we wanted to know, what does, like, the shawarma guy down the road think of all this? what do the police officers having to clean up all this mess, like, how do they fit into this universe that's been created? And so the Homburg Chronicle is a fictional newspaper that follows the life of one Innistrad journalist living in a crappy Innistrad town, just kind of commenting on how all of these big giant things that are happening are affecting him and his community. And so the story is told through social media, in online postings, as well as through mysterious artifacts that we've been mailing to people across the world.
We're still waiting for our mailing. Just there are still a couple
out in the wild. So yeah,
you never asked for Maria's address, but we assume you guys just have that have kind
it,
of stuff.
So it may just be lost in the mail. You know, Oliver's a busy guy. So.
Yeah. So what made you guys decide to do the Handwork Chronicle as part of the Innistrad plan?
When the community team was first approached about Innistrad, so this was like a year ago, one of the main directives that we were given was that we want to talk more about story than we have ever before. And so we put our brains together thinking, what is a way that we could talk about story and not necessarily cards and have it be just as interesting? And so we mashed our brains together, and one of our favorite things have always been ARGs, like alternative reality games, where everything that you do in your daily life is somehow disrupted by this thing that's part of a story, by something invading your life a little bit that you have to pay attention to. And it may not make sense at first.
ARG!
ARG! Anyways. Exactly. Exactly, yeah. It's the best format for pirate stories, yeah. So we wanted to do something that we thought was fun and cool, and we didn't really want to explain it too much, since we wanted this to feel very, very unknowable, kind of untouchable. The rest of the set is all about mysteries and subtlety, and if we just put up a big banner ad that said, come read the Handwear Chronicle, like, in flashing letters, like, who's gonna do that? No one, because that's the worst. So we wanted to be sneaky and fun about it. So we initially made, oh god, how many entries are there? There's a lot, but more than half of them are being mailed to people across the world.
Oh, that's so cool.
So we started by mailing a package to Spain and then posted a couple of entries online. And then there were packages that went out to Germany, Italy. During the Shadows Over Innistrad kickoff weekend, we also mailed a couple of those packages, which is where puzzles were located. The idea being that all of these individual pieces can kind of stand on their own. But when you put them together, it tells the story of this town and this one man in particular.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Poor Oliver. I feel so sorry for him. He's just trying to write his paper. And there's angels that are freaking out, and there's all sorts of weird rocks in the orchards, and, like, he's just trying to do his thing.
He's already a journalist in a dying industry. So.
I know.
Yeah. And I assume that print media is as much in the garbage in Innistrad as it is in the U.S.
That's kind of my favorite part about it. Like, there's more likely than not only, like, two other newspapers on this entire plane, and so maybe they all get together like once every couple of years to swap industry tips, and it's always just kind of sad because everyone's too busy not dying to read.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, sweetie, did you read today's paper?
I'm sorry, I got bit by something.
I tripped and I was attacked by several scabs, so I was not able to read the paper, Mama. Like, that's absolutely every single day. Like, it's just trying not to get killed by things.
We never know what's going on in our neighborhood.
Yeah, there's just corpses and just random bloody trails.
My leg was eaten off by a werewolf. I'll never know how many babies were born in my town this year.
So you mentioned, like, wizards approaching you guys and saying, like, hey, we want to do more of a story.
Yeah.
Why did they want to do something different with this set release and with all of the story stuff?
Why not? I mean, the story has never been as important as it is right now. And with Origins, we really wanted to put forward that we are starting a new arc. This is a new story arc for all of Magic. And with that, that means that the stories are going to get bigger. They're going to be more important. And since you can see the action happening on the cards, we want to be able to reflect that in all of our branding. And so when you look at our social media, we want people to recognize that the story plays such a massive, massive part of the game. And plus, it is way more fun to write a bunch of tweets and posts about story instead of just like sharing the same cards over and over with no explanation of who's in the art, where did this come from, why is it important to anything that's going on. It provides a much more rich context for everything when you include all parts of the game instead of just one.
Why is Nahiri so pissed?
Why? Yeah, she's so angry.
I don't know, man.
Do you know what, you guys? She doesn't have to justify being angry. She's angry. That ought to be enough. Watch out.
Strong defense of feminine anger. I like that. Nice.
Thank you.
I'm curious what you guys think. What are your theories?
Oh, on why she's angry?
Yeah, let's hear it.
No, we know why she's angry, right? She's just pissed at Soren. Soren kind of like...
Because he
kind
of left.
He kind of threw over Innistrad.
That's fair.
He threw over Zendikar.
And then he just
sort of just like, oh, keep these...
We don't know for sure.
What? It's pretty... Like, he trapped the, you know, trapped the Titans there.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey bro, not cool. This is my place. You know? Yeah. And so he was like,
I guess
hey,
that seems like grounds for it.
Yeah, he like watch these Titans, and she's like, no, and he's like, I'm leaving. So she's like, I'm gonna come wreck everything you love.
Okay, great. That sounds feasible to me,
mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm.
As for the shadows, I previously mentioned that I think it's Jace's farts.
It's a good possibility, strong possibility. Yeah.
But we've been like speculating on the show what we actually think it is.
I think we're still on the Merit Lage train.
Yes, right. Yes, we are.
Yeah. That's the ship that we're choosing to pilot.
We are hatching. Wait,
helm?
What?
Helm? Steer.
Hitching, that's the word.
What, you don't hitch a ship?
No.
Put out your thumb.
Horses, if you're on a dock and you put your thumb out, that ship is going to come pick you up.
What? Okay.
Hitching our wagon.
There you go.
Is that the phrase?
Sure.
Yeah. To that train.
Hitching our trains? Hitching our wagons to that train?
Hitching your horse?
Did you see
the
movie Hitch?
Yes.
With Will
Smith? Yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah, everyone saw it. Except for you, apparently.
I didn't see it either.
I'm sorry. That was presumptuous of me.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I get it. I'm the outsider in this situation. Okay.
You didn't miss much, so there's that.
But yeah, we do really love the way that you guys are dealing with the flavor in this set.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's really cool to see there be a mystery and everybody's kind of banding together to try and solve it. And, like, we don't know what's going to happen.
Ooh, one of my biggest questions is, where's Tamiyo?
Yeah. And, like...
She's baller.
Where is she at? She, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of references to
where
her.
Is
mysteries.
She?
Number
mysteries.
Two. Like, are we going to see the big bad in this set, or is it going to be wait to be revealed to the second set? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you mean like Eldritch... Spooky moon?
Spooky moon.
Spooky moon. The spookiest moon.
So, those are
Oh, yeah. Like, what's Sigarda going to do? She seems like a badass.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's just running around being like... Hey, I'm not crazy.
Yet.
I guess we'll all just have to go to the pre-release and find out.
Not only were you guys doing the Heinwer Chronicle and all this flavor business,
yeah.
Megan and I are very sad we missed out on this by not going to Detroit, but you did some escape rooms. Like, you set these up at GP Detroit. Where else?
GP other one.
GP Melbourne and Bologna.
Okay.
Yes.
And, like, escape rooms are straight cool, just, like,
straight
period.
Baller.
Oh, yeah.
Straight baller.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
So we're excited about that. And they also looked great, like, that big, like, what was
cathedral.
It?
There's cathedral. There's, like, a giant cathedral.
Oh, it looked awesome.
So, did you guys see the images from the other ones that we put online?
Yes. I saw the photos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I mean, they looked great.
Thank you.
How do you even design an escape room? Like, Magic players are really, you know, clever people usually. Mm-hmm. How did you design an escape room that would be hard but not too hard?
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
I don't even know where to begin.
Well, we approached these events the same way that we kind of approached social media as well. We were given the direction that this should be as flavorful as humanly possible. So we made this amazing team of a couple of us at Wizards, as well as a professional events company. And we also reached out to Lone Shark Games, who are based just across the lake from us in the Seattle area. And so we worked with the puzzle company, Lone Shark, to come up with these escape rooms. So they worked really closely with our creative team to make sure that nothing looked like it didn't belong. one of my favorite stories is there was one point when we were developing the Melbourne escape room, which was a laboratory. I remember there was one meeting where we decided that the current design we had looked too Saw. It just looked too much like Saw, so we had to redo it.
There's just like an arm in the corner.
You guys, yeah, there like totally were. Mandy Patinkin in here.
Yeah, no, it looked like Geralf was going to come out and be like, "Would you like to play a game?" Like it looked really just like
and his
too
tiny
spooky.
Little trike.
But yeah, so we worked really closely with the puzzle company. They worked really closely with creative. So the environments that we created were basically walking inside of these amazing planes and these amazing locations. We worked with them to make sure that the puzzles could be solved in 15 minutes by a team of 8 people. So they were spaced out, so you wouldn't spend too much time doing one thing and like forget about something else, or it would only take you like 2 minutes to solve. Luckily, Loan Shark are really smart and they're really clever people. So they were able to help us come up with a really cool experience.
Man, question. If I went to any of these, yeah, and I licked like the cathedral or I licked the laboratory,
you
would I
probably
also taste,
get sick. Is
like
what you
flavor
would do.
That way. Oh, okay.
Not recommended.
I mean, other than that, it would probably taste like wood or maybe like building materials.
You know, sometimes the snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
But
that's what I'm saying.
I hear if you lick the right places, you could totally taste pumpkin spice. That's a callback. That's a callback to
awesome
right at the beginning. Oh yeah.
Full circle. I had a question. No, I don't remember it.
No? Megan, what was it?
Oh, I was just gonna say, so you just mentioned like building materials. Did you guys like have them like built in Seattle and then you had to ship them around the world, or did you contract them out?
Yeah. How did you do the it? Cathedral was built in Portland, and was then shipped over. And we contracted out companies in Italy and Australia to build the other ones.
Excuse me, I need to
one cathedral.
Well, I need to talk to you about shipping a
excuse
cathedral.
Excuse me, Mr. Australia. Could you help us build something fantastic?
So where are these now? Where's Cathedral Living now?
I believe they have all been broken down and are in our storage. They have been destroyed. You will never see them ever again. Nah, I think they're just in storage somewhere.
Okay.
I know that our team claimed the vampire that was sticking out of the walls in Bologna.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we'll have this really spooky mannequin to look forward to. It's going to be cool.
Yay. What if you just like you took it home and you put it so it was coming out of one of your walls?
Oh man, that's like the dream. Someday
you just, like, walk into your house,
just be like, oh no, that's my vampire. He's turned to stone. He's trapped there forever and always. Amen.
That's one of my favorite pieces of art. Is Soren standing in Markov Manor, and there's just like all of the vampires.
Oh, it's so good. Just dozens and dozens of his own family just like sticking out of the walls. It's so solid. I love
it. What a way to come home.
What a way to make a point.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. I will put your relatives in my walls. What a
good
threat.
How mad I am with you? You don't get to have any family anymore, is how mad I am.
I would be remiss. I would be a bad podcast host if I didn't ask you if there was any secrets you could reveal on the show about what's happening, or any clues you can give our listeners about what's coming up.
Unfortunately, there's nothing that I can freely share. But what I can say, actually, is that in the Hanweir Chronicle, just to like jump back to that for a second.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been approaching it as if it were a mathematical puzzle, like you have to send it through a cipher, or maybe there's something hidden in the images, when they've been kind of missing out on a couple of literary references that are hidden in there. Different kind of puzzles. So there's no real like solution or like clues to be given out. It's meant to be enjoyed as it is, but if you find fun little things, then they're there. We did hide a couple of card names in each entry, so just kind of be on the lookout for those.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah, they're marked with bad grammar. It's fun. But yeah, mostly the entries are, just kind of stand on their own. If you really want to look for like the puzzles, the payoff is not that big, but it's fun, so there you go. It's mostly, just a way for the creative team to have a new way to tell the story. And ideally, a way that will make you want to appreciate the story more and take that with you when you go to Preludes later. So,
awesome.
Immersive storytelling.
You guys have really, you've really brought it for Thanks. Shadows over Innistrad preview season and pre-release.
Thanks.
Like, do we get to look forward to more super bringing it in future sets? Like, are you setting a new bar that is now the floor again?
You know,
so that you can jump up from there?
Bring it on, three. Is that going to be made about you?
Yeah.
Your greatest success will be the bar that all of your future projects are held to. And so
Good.
If people are enjoying this, that just means we get to do cool stuff more often, which is fine with me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for coming on our show, Allison. Yeah. If people want to connect with you, how can they do that?
You can track me down on Twitter. I'm Allison the Person, and I'll probably give you like a virtual high five and stuff.
Awesome.
Cool.
And you also do a lot of, like you said, you know, go check out the Magic Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. The Tumblr's
worth it. Award-winning.
Award-winning, Tumblr. Yeah. Oh, yes. And also on that note, I'll be speaking at Emerald City Comic Con on their Women of Tumblr panel for the stuff that we've done.
Oh, that's awesome.
With Magic. Yeah.
So if you're going to be at Emerald City Comic Con, go check it out.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Please, yeah. Stack the Comic-Con. Audience with more Magic fans, because I'm sure we gotta fight the other people that are there. That's how it works.
So, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Be ready to rumble.
That's how I understand conventions.
Yeah, it's just, you gotta it's make just a fist fights. Yeah, it's just snapping and just like choreographed fight routines. It's pretty rad.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let us know how you do at your pre-release and what you know, like kind of format or colors you draft.
Ooh,
and
oh,
if you live your spirit dream.
Ah, oh, spirits forever.
Shadows over Innistrad previews. Yay!
That's right.
It's time.
There have been so many.
Yeah.
So we're just going to talk about a few highlights.
Yes. There have been a lot.
Exactly. You know, Innistrad recently went and dyed its hair, but it got some highlights, and we're going to talk about those.
They look great, by the way.
They look great.
They don't look like a skunk at all.
No.
Which is what my first highlights when I did it looked like back in like 2000.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's because, you know, we didn't understand what highlights were in 2000.
Yeah, we didn't really have it right by then. The science wasn't worked out.
No.
So what do you want to talk about first, these P-dubs?
Yeah, man.
Wow. Planeswalker City.
There's some sweet peeps. You know, roaming the plains.
Yeah, we've got a new Jace, for crying out loud.
Yes!
Which some people are calling Obnixilis in blue.
What?
And the reason is because it sounds like it.
Actually, now that you say that, I get it.
It's three blue, plus one, scry one, draw a card.
Yeah.
Which is Obnixilis' lose life, draw a card, I believe.
Yeah, that's very true.
Negative two, return target creature to its owner's hand, and that's Obnixilis.
Destroy a creature.
Yep. Negative eight, you get an emblem with, whenever an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, counter that spell.
Oh, snap!
Seems good. Loyalty five. So, I mean,
counter
I don't know.
Counter your spell.
Everybody underestimates Jace, and then he turns out to be amazing, so I'm not going to go
true.
Ahead and do that
but
this time.
But for right now, this Jace, at least in standard, is going to have to compete with Little
Baby
himself.
Jace. Yeah. Little himself?
Hey, who are you competing with? I don't know, man. Just little me.
You know what? Aren't we all just really competing with ourselves? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Aren't we all just really competing with tinier versions of ourselves?
Creepy.
I think that Baby Jace is still better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's cheaper.
He's way cheaper. You get some sweet loot effects off of him. And you just get to straight up pick what you want to flash back.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
We'll
see. We will always see.
Sorin, Grim Nemesis.
Aw, snap.
This card is a friggin' powerhouse.
Grim Nemesis.
Four, white, black, loyalty, six, plus one. Reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. Just draw it. Each opponent loses life equal to its converted mana cost. So it's like a, you know, Bob with upside.
It's like a reverse Bob.
Yeah.
It's a Bob. Because Bob in reverse is still Bob.
I get it. It's a palindrome.
Or it's Pop. Because you turned it upside down.
Megan, do you want to hear a palindrome I wrote in fourth grade?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... Oh, I ruined my joke. Anyway, it's a poem I wrote in fourth grade.
Oh, it's a palindrome?
Shh.
Okay.
Not really.
Tell us about it.
Okay. Let's see if I can remember it. I memorized it. And I still have it in my brain skull.
Mm-hmm.
One day we had a spelling test. I thought I'd pass like all the rest. The words were easy as can be, like sky, car, dad, and pee, or something like that. Tree. Sure, we'll say that's what it was. Sky, car, dad, and tree. I numbered my paper from 1 to 10 and smiled again and again. I thought with such glee, I thought I'd pass so happily. But when I got my paper back, what I saw almost broke my back. A big red check mark next to mom. I screamed, oh no, what did I do wrong? I thought, what could it be? Oh, what is wrong with me? Then it hit me. I knew why. I'd spelled mom backwards, silly guy.
You're the worst.
Yep. So that's what I was doing with my time when I was in fourth grade. I wonder why I'm a nerd. All right. Negative X.
Grimness.
Megan, come back to us.
What? Where are we?
Negative X. Sorin. He does X damage to target creature or planeswalker. You gain X life. Seems good. Ooh, his loyalty is 6.
I mean, you can kill nearly anything with that.
-9. Mm-hmm. Put a number of 1/1 black vampire knight creature tokens with lifelink onto the battlefield equal to the highest life total among all players. Wow.
Very cool.
They're not flying.
Sorin, Grim Nemesis.
That card is nuts.
He's looking like he's out for vengeance.
I think, people are like, oh, 6 is so expensive, but Elspeth was 6.
That's true. Elspeth was 6, and Elspeth, you know, did a hell of a lot of work during her time in Standard.
I mean, he protects himself with his negative X, mm-hmm. makes a billion dudes.
Mm-hmm. It's not quite, you know, put 3/1/1 soldiers.
No,
that was an absurd +1 ability. Yeah.
All right, Nahiri.
That's right. The planeswalker to whom Sorin is a nemesis.
2 red, white, loyalty, 4, plus 2.
Snap.
You may discard a card. If you do, draw a card, madness. #madness.
Hashtag madness.
-2, exile target enchantment, tapped artifact, or tapped creature.
Okay. Sure. So if they've been attacking you, take it away.
-8, search your library for an artifact or creature card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. It gains haste. Return it to your hand at the beginning of the next end step.
That's kind of unexciting.
Wow.
Unless you have a killer creature in there.
I mean, if we're thinking about killer, like modern or something, there's good artifacts you can go get.
I mean, there's better planeswalkers you can play if we're talking about modern.
Yeah, I mean, -8 is not nothing. But she does have a +2.
She seems, I mean, her artwork, as we talked about, Allison, just amazing.
It's great.
She just looks awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a red-white planeswalker, I guess, what was the last
time? I mean, it's like if I open this in draft, I'm going to pick it.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, taking it. Let's see, Ajani in the past has been red-white.
Yeah.
I don't remember anyone else that, I don't know if, have we, I don't think we've had any red-white friends during our time.
I was kind of excited that there would be more artifact, synergy in this set. I'm always excited for that, spoiler alert, so I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but.
Yeah. Also, so Nahiri was originally just a white planeswalker.
Yeah.
She got mad. She got some red.
All right, here's the planeswalker everybody's just howling about.
Don't.
Arlen Cord.
Arlen Cord.
Red green.
Two red green.
3 loyalty. Yeah, plus man. 1 until end of turn. Up to 1 target creature gets +2/+2 and gains vigilance and haste.
Pretty sweet.
Yep. 0. Put a 2/2 green wolf creature token onto the battlefield. Transform Arlen Cord.
That's right. She's a flip planeswalker, yo.
She turns into Arlen, embraced by the moon.
That's also a sweet, like, subname.
It is. Like, it's a cold, icy embrace, but you want it nonetheless.
Exactly.
If you know what I mean.
She's so cool, the moon hugs her.
+1. Creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample until end of turn. Overrun, no big deal. Sort mm-hmm. of. -1. Arlen, embraced by the moon, deals 3 damage to target creature or player. Transformer. Then she flips back.
Yes, yeah, so she not only flips just one direction, she flips both directions because she can turn into and out of a wolf at will.
-6, you get an emblem with creatures you control have haste and tap. This creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature player.
Par.
It's parger.
It's pretty sweet. I'm very excited.
And we talked about this a little bit.
Arlen is
have
very
we actually?
Cool.
No, like that we were happy that she's, you know, like a 40 something year old woman, on this art, and she's not sexualized whatsoever.
She's just a badass.
I know. I love
she's
it.
She's super cool.
And like I just wanted to point that out because it's important that like we like women are represented that aren't, you know, looking like they're 22 mm-hmm. or 100 and they're like an old hag or whatever.
Yeah.
So life happens in the middle. That's also
what, Maria? No, it's 0 to 60.
That's the name of my new sitcom.
Zero to 60.
No, life happens in the middle. ABC Family.
Oh, that is an ABC Family title.
I know. It really is. So yeah, a lot of really cool planeswalkers going on.
We also got the set of rare lands today.
Yes. So yeah, you know, this is becoming a thing.
Yeah. Shadowlands.
Okay. I'm going to call them handlands.
Shadowlands.
We'll see who wins.
Hey, how many handlands do you have in your hand? Do you have a hand? Do you have a land hand?
A hand of handlands?
Do you have a hand of handlands?
Yeah,
you
I
have
do.
A little land heavy hand and it's handlands. Handlands. That you're heavy with?
Yeah.
Cool.
Port town.
Yeah. So I'll these are one of them. So names still up for debate. Some people want to call them handlands because they are dual lands that they come into play, and you can reveal a basic land of one of the other two. Not a basic, actually. I think you only have to reveal like for the green
a
white one
or island.
A plant for the green white one, right? Like a plains or a forest.
Yes. Yeah.
So notably, you can reveal the whatever we're calling the ones from. From Oath or
Battlelands.
Battlelands and from Battle. Okay, so you can reveal Battlelands to these, right? Because those have both of the land types. But the point is, as it comes into play, you have to reveal a land.
And then or it comes into play tapped. Yeah. So, I mean, like, really, what's the most powerful way that a land can be is probably it just comes into play tapped unless you pay 2 life. That's probably the best.
What? Do you not know about the original duel?
Well, yes. Okay. Not talking about the original duel.
Okay, never mind then. Yeah.
See, there's some drawback, right? There has to be a drawback.
I think the shock lands are very high on the list because they have both types.
Yeah.
And the resource that you use to have them come into play untapped is something that you can always have at any point in the game. You know, with these, the concern is like, oh, you know, if I draw this on turn 9, I probably don't have a land in my hand to reveal to it.
Right. But at the same time, you probably don't care at that point.
Yeah, you never know, though.
So, I don't know. Like, I want to see, like, list of what is the most powerful. Is it, obviously, I think Pain or whatever Shock lands is the most powerful. And then what we just saw, the Battle lands, which, you know, they need a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's the best?
So, we're excluding Fetch lands. We're excluding original duels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have Pain lands that go somewhere in there.
Yep.
We have, you know, so many types. We have I don't know what we call these either. The ones that come into play tapped if you have more than 2 lands in play.
Mm-hmm.
Those.
So like.
The creature ones from Lorwyn.
Yep.
Like the tribe ones.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think about, like, you know, is this all, like, equally, like, the same power level? Is it pretty flat? Or is one of them, like...
I think you can definitively say no, because you look at which ones are played in Modern.
Oh, yeah.
And Modern, it's the ones that you come into play tapped unless you have two or if you have two or more. Otherwise, you know, if you play in them early, they come into play untapped.
Yep.
Which is obviously super powerful because a lot of times, you know, it allows you to have access to either color very early on. And then Shocklands are played in Modern.
It's like, what are they going to do next? What's the next limitation going to be? So this limitation is you got to reveal something. Is the next limitation like you got to get a slap in the face and then you can play it untapped? I don't know.
Okay, Maria, would you play that land untapped?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Everybody would.
Probably.
Make Magic a lot more interactive.
I don't know if that's what they're pushing for.
We'll see. Let's talk about some other notable cards, Megan. Just like that, you know, you were excited about... I was excited about I'll start it off because I want to.
Yeah.
Because I want to brag about the fact that I'm psychic yet again.
Oh my God, this is hilarious. This is amazing.
My prediction has come true.
Yeah.
In the card, Behold the Beyond. 5 black sorcery. Discard your hand. Search your library for 3 cards and put those cards into your hand. Shuffle your library. And this is a card I invented like literally 2 episodes ago.
To be fair, slightly better.
Well, yeah.
Because you discard and then you get to go get the 3 cards.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's crazy how close this is.
My microphone. I got too excited.
Okay. It's crazy how close this is to what you designed.
Like, I know.
Hilariously, weirdly close.
So Wizards is just like, hold on. Did you hear what Maria said in that passive? This is the missing card.
Everyone go print it up right now. Send it to the printers.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's so funny.
And like, really... really pretty cool. Yeah. Also, probably because once you get to casting a 7-mana spell, you don't have a hand to discard.
Yeah.
So like, oh, I'll play this and I'll discard this nothing in my hand.
And get 3 cards. Would you play this? Would you first pick this?
Oh, yes. At least the, I'm definitely going to try it out at the beginning.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, 7 is a lot. And then you also have to live to like play those cards.
You're missing your turn to go get it.
If the format, you know, if the format supports playing something that mana intensive and that like late gamey, then I would 100% play this.
Cool.
I'm very excited to try it.
What card do you want to talk about now?
Let's go and talk about Geist Traft Bro 2.0. Traft Bro.
Yeah, Invocation of Saint Traft.
That's right. 1 white, blue. And it's an enchantment.
Yeah, enchant creature.
Yep.
Enchanted creature has, whenever this creature attacks, put a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking, and then exile it.
I mean, yeah, pretty cool.
Reminds us of Geist of Saint Traft.
Really, really funny. I mean, obviously it doesn't have hexproof.
No.
On your bro.
No.
But, I mean, honestly, if this was 1 white, blue and it got hexproof and this, if it literally just turned your creature into Geist, it'd probably be too powerful.
I mean, you drafted bonkers with Geist once.
That's true. I opened it.
Yeah.
And then I completely tanked the rest of that draft because we had no idea what we were doing. We had no idea. Literally no idea.
We played an Innistrad draft way back in the day. Before, so we had been.
But it was during Gatecrash.
No.
Or during RTR?
It was during RTR.
Yeah.
And our store just wanted to play it because, like, so many people loved it so much. Yeah. And we didn't know.
We had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Somebody told me that red green werewolves was the thing, so that's what I drafted, and it was not a good deck.
I don't even remember what I drafted. I just drafted total garbage, but I opened a Geist of Saint Draft. So it was great.
You came out okay.
It came out okay out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Megan and I were kind of having a little argument. Not really. It was about Tamio's journal.
Oh, yeah. We were having a discussion.
It's kind of interesting card.
Yeah, it is.
5 colorless artifact. Legendary artifact, no Ooh. Doubt. I mean, as the journal should be. At the beginning of your upkeep, investigate. Oh.
Wow.
So you get a clue token.
Yeah, man.
For free. Ooh. You're going to have like a billion of those things laying around. Tap. Sacrifice 3 clues. Search your library for a card. Put that card into your hand. Shuffle your library.
Oh, snap. So basically, sack 3 clues. Tutor.
Yep.
Pretty baller.
And you can do it again. You don't even need to destroy this thing.
And do you know what's actually like kind of cool, which I hadn't thought about, which is probably why it costs 5, is that if you have 3 clues in play from other stuff,
you can just
Basically like on turn 5 play this, tap, sack those clues, and go fetch a card.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Tutors are powerful.
You're
shit.
2 mana ahead of the card that I designed, which I'm going to call it from now on doing that. So yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, man. And then, like, so say you play it and you already have 3 clues in play and you sack them and you go get a card. You're still going to get to, like, upkeep get clues.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's just like an endless stream of clues.
Yeah.
Like a parent in the home of a young child.
Like a do-do-do-do-do. Inspector Gadget.
I was going Mystery. For a Blue's Clues reference. Oh. But
I don't think there were children living in that house, just a man and his dog.
Sometimes I worry about him, you know?
I think you should.
I mean, he needs a hobby. Yes,
yeah. Well, I mean, his hobby is solving mysteries that his dog leaves for him.
What was the most difficult mystery he had to solve? Like, where's my paintbrush?
I mean, I think that's about the genre of mystery.
I want Blue's Clues to solve a murder.
I'll write that.
Okay.
I'll go write that story.
Fanfic.
Yep.
Blue.
So Blue's Clues. Oh my God. Do you think that there's Blue's Clues fanfic?
I hope so.
Of Blue solving murder mysteries?
Like, people were, like, there was people crushing on that guy. So, like.
What?
There's probably shippers out there for the guy in Blue's Clues.
This is the weirdest.
There's a bloody paw print. Blue, what is it? Oh, no. A murder. It's like, there has to be a warning before the show.
This has been this week's show, you guys.
I want to talk about Sin Prodder.
Sin Prodder?
Yeah, so this card came out very recently. 2 in a red, menace for 3/2.
I mean, not
it's
bad.
A little devil guy.
Yeah, man.
At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. Any opponent may have you put that card into your graveyard. If a player does, Sin Prodder deals damage to that player equal to that card's converted mana cost. Otherwise, you put that card into your hand.
Ooh.
So this is basically Bob. Once again, we're referencing Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And
except you don't always get to draw it.
You always draw something.
Well, you get your draw step.
Oh, it's not an extra card?
It is an extra card. So you get, like, right, you're always drawing your card for your turn after this.
Yeah.
But Bob is, it flips, and, like, you get to draw that card no matter what. You just lose life equal to its converted mana cost.
Right.
This, your opponent can choose to have you put in your graveyard.
I still think that's awesome. Like, there, what's the downside?
Your opponent gets to choose if you get it.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, if they have, like, right, if they're playing anything that has, like, a lot of life gain, they can just always tell you no.
Yeah.
But, like, that being said, it's still, like, you know, red sometimes has a hard time with card draw.
Yeah.
This is a really cool way for red to have more card draw. And if you are pressuring your opponent as a red deck should, and they don't have a lot of life gain, they're not always going to have a lot of options in terms of,
like,
you know, letting you.
Right. So sometimes it's like all upside because red's just like, whatever, I want to burn your face anyway. So
very true. Yeah. And, you know, that being said, like, unless it's a land, which it very well could be a lot of the time, you do, it's like drawing a burn spell that you don't have to cast or you don't have to pay for.
Right.
So
the difference is that, you know, Bob costs two, this costs three. This has menace, which is also like a real thing.
Yeah. 3/2 menace for three is a real deal.
Like, think about Kozilek Shrieker, which was a 3/2 menace for three. And of course you could pump it.
4/2 menace for three.
So, but like, it was annoying.
Yeah.
As it was, as a 3/2 menace for three.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, I don't know.
Or what was it, like Boggart Brute?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was a good card in that set. Very playable.
So, yeah, people are having a little argument now over whether this card is the new Bob or whether it's not. I'm very interested to see what happens because I'm keeping my eye out there for a red-black Vampires deck in Standard.
You realize that he's a devil.
I know, but he's going
All right.
I mean.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Like, we've got Olivia at three, the new Olivia.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'm always, like, hoping for a really aggressive, fun Standard deck, and I hope Red Black Vampires ends up being the real deal. I don't know. Are you, like, are any of these, like, calling to you, Megan, to, like, build a Standard? Because we're looking forward to GP Minneapolis. Like,
that's,
we're
going to play Standard. True. You know, I'm still waiting.
Okay.
I'm still waiting. I'm always optimistic for ways that I can kill all the creatures and draw all the cards. That's all I want to do.
They're not going to print it again. They're not going to print it.
Sphinx of Revelation? They're gonna print it someday. They're going to print it someday. Don't you even.
Modern Masters 3.
Don't you even. No, it needs to be in a Standard set.
Okay.
I love it so much.
Is there any other card that you're, like, particularly drawn to right now that's been recently previewed?
Let's see. There was the one that's, like, the X and a blue, and you draw, like, you take X plus one cards off the top of your library and divide them into two piles, and your opponent chooses which one you take.
Epiphany at the Drown Yard.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. I like some card draw.
You can draw cards there.
Yeah, man. You sure can.
Do you like this card for limited? 3 and a blue. Return to their owner's hands all creatures with toughness less than or equal to the number of islands you control.
Yeah, man. I like bouncing. Yeah.
Anyway, this card seems good. Tireless Tracker. 3/2 for 2 and a green. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, investigate.
Yeah.
So for, like, free. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, give it a 1/+1/+1 counter.
I'm very much looking forward to playing that card, actually.
That card seems so good.
I'd play that. I like to investigate. I'd like to investigate.
Let me investigate something here.
Yeah, ma'am.
You know what I gotta say, though? I mean, like, the full spoiler is gonna be released next week. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're gonna have Judge Rob on the show, who's gonna tell us all about these funny rules interactions that we're gonna see in this set. Mm-hmm. But also, we're gonna name cutest card and grossest card.
Yeah.
Gross card, obviously, is the easiest job you've ever had.
Oh, my God.
I am gonna have a tough time with cutest card. Like, what's going on here?
It's Innistrad.
I know.
Spooky.
It's just going to be tough, you know?
If it's not Topplegeist, I'm rioting.
Topplegeist or Riot?
Yep.
Okay.
It's my stance. Topplegeist or Riot.
I'm interested to know what people out there, send us a tweet at MTAcast, if any of these cards is calling to you, like, build a Standard deck around me, build a Modern deck around me, build
draft me.
Let me know, because I want to know, like,
yeah, man,
what are you excited about? Mm-hmm. What's tickling your fancy? Have you ever had your fancy tickled, Megan?
I don't know. I like cake.
Okay. Well, that's it for this episode of Magic the Amateuring. Thanks for listening, everybody. As we mentioned at the top of the show, support us on Patreon for an extra 5 minutes of content. We got playmats on our website, Tolarian Community College is thebomb.com, at MTAcast, magictheamateuring.com is our home on the web. I'm horny_unicorny. She's Ice Cream Socialist. Say a word.
Word.